you have a Bible tonight, please go with me to the book of Exodus, where we are doing something that I normally don't do, and that is I'm continuing a Sunday message on Wednesday night. This Sunday message I began 2 weeks ago, then Brother Chauvin came, and then I'm starting to speak on stewardship now, and will be for several weeks. And so I just feel like the Lord wanted me to jump right into this. We started in Job chapter 42, but then we moved into the message and continuing to look at worship. And if you remember from back several weeks back into January, we spoke about a man by the name of Moses and how that God was working in his life, preparing him for a great task. And by the way, God is always preparing us for something. Do not think that a challenge that comes into your life is in vain. God brings in things into your life and my life because he's preparing us for a work that he wants us to do, for a task that he has for us. So he's always preparing us. Many of you remember the scene at the burning bush, and we talked about that, how that Moses saw this bush in the middle of the desert, and it was burning, but it wasn't being consumed. And God spoke to him out of that bush. And so then God wanted Moses to go to Egypt and go right up to Pharaoh with a message. And that message was, let my people go. And yet then when that happened, Moses, well, this is kind of where we left off. We covered the first one. Moses had several different excuses. How many of you know what an excuse is? You know what an excuse is. How many of you are awake tonight, all right? We know what an excuse is. Well, they came up with several excuses. The first one is where we covered it. Look at Exodus chapter 3, verse number 11. And Moses said unto God, let's read those next three words together. Ready? Who am I? Exodus chapter 3, verse number 11. Does anybody need a Bible? Anybody need a Bible? Exodus 3, 11. We want you to see these things in the Word of God. Moses says, who am I? Basically, Moses is telling God, God, I have absolutely no ability. I'm a nobody. Who am I? I don't know what to say. I don't, you've got the wrong man. You've got the wrong man for the job. And then, you know what? There's something about feeling that way, that we should all have that sense, that who are we? Who are we to serve the Lord? Who are we to live for God? But yet God has a plan for Moses. God answers Moses quickly. Look at verse 12. And he said, let's read these next few words, starting with certainly, ending with the word thee. Ready? Certainly, I will be with thee. This is God telling Moses. Moses says, God, who am I? And God says to Moses, hey, it doesn't matter who you are because I'm going to be with you. And praise God for that truth tonight. God is with us tonight as his children. Certainly, I will be with you. Who else did Moses need in order to do the task that was presented to him? He needed no one else. He had the mighty presence of the Lord. It is not about who we are tonight, but it is about who God is. And we talked about that. The first qualification is to realize that I am not qualified. Let me say that one more time. In order to do something for God, the first qualification is to realize I am not qualified. None of us are. But by the grace of God, because God goes with us, we can do great and mighty things. He said, I will be with thee. He said the same to Jacob. He said the same to Joshua. He said the same to Gideon and Solomon. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Think about that tonight. It doesn't matter where we are as believers, God is with us. Tonight we're sitting in church. We might think, of course God is with us in church. It's not about the building. We could be sitting outside tonight freezing and God would be with us. We could be under a structure like that in Liberia or in Zambia, and we believe where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. We could be in an office somewhere. It doesn't matter. Certainly, I will be with thee. And so that's where we left off with Moses' first excuse or question. He said was, who am I? Number two, look at verse 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? Notice this next excuse, or really this question. What shall I say unto them? Number two is just that. Moses' second question is, What shall I say unto them? Who do I tell the people has sent me? I have no idea what to tell them. They don't know who I am. They don't probably care who I am. So I'm going to walk in. I'm going to let the people know I'm here to deliver you from the slavery, the bondage of Egypt. Who are you? We don't know who you are. Who sent you to deliver us? That was his question. Notice the response once again, immediately from God in verse 14. And God said unto Moses, Exodus 3:14, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. This is the covenant God of Israel, Jehovah. We also could use Yahweh. We could also use the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. This meant something to the people. When Moses would go back to the people and say, I am hath sent me, that was something that meant something to them. The covenant God of Israel had sent Moses. We see first off, underneath this, God gives Moses his message. Look at verse 15. So what is the message? Here it is, verse 15. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites unto a land that floweth with milk and honey. God says, Moses, I've got a wonderful message for you to deliver. It's a message of deliverance. It's a message of freedom. Praise God tonight, as a Christian, we have been set free. We have been set free from the bondage of sin. We have absolutely no reason to live in defeat as a Christian. Turn with me quickly in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is a message that God gave Moses. He told Moses everything that he needed to say. It was a message of victory. It was a message of deliverance. I'm glad tonight that God delivered me from sin. I'm glad tonight that God delivered me from the penalty of sin, aren't you? What is the penalty of sin? The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That's not talking about physical death, although that comes to everyone. That's talking about spiritual death in hell. That means every one of us here tonight, from the youngest to the oldest, we deserve hell. That's what we deserve. Oh, but I'm so thankful for the grace of God. God's message to Moses was, I'm sending you to deliver the people from Egypt. That was a picture of the world. We'll talk about that in a minute. I'm sending you to deliver them from bondage. By the way, God has a message for us tonight about this too. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 1. The Bible says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. By which also ye are saved. Amen? If you're saved tonight, you're saved because of the gospel, the good news, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Moses had a message. The message was deliverance. The message was freedom. God has a message for us in the New Testament church. God has a message for us tonight in Burnaby, BC. God has a message for us in 2018. It is the message of deliverance through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful tonight for that message. Then secondly, we see that God gives Moses his mission. This is all under number two. And it was added since this was done. So just if you're taking notes, jot it down. Look back to our text, please. Exodus chapter number 3. And he gives Moses his mission. Verse 18. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. I want you to notice that. That we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Moses, I want you to go tell Pharaoh that God has met with us, and God has told us that we must leave Egypt. God has told us that he wants us to leave Egypt so that we can worship him. That's part of worship, remember? Sacrifice. But notice the beautiful picture here. God says to Moses, I want you to leave Egypt before you will sacrifice. I want you to leave Egypt before you will worship. What is Egypt a picture of? The world and sin. Notice that. God says, I want you to leave the picture of the world so that you can worship me in spirit and in truth. What a great challenge that is. Leave Egypt, then worship. Leave the world and then worship. Go with me quickly to the gospel according to Mark, chapter number 16. The mission that God gives to Moses is, hey, tell Pharaoh we've got to go and we've got to leave here so that we can sacrifice to our God, so that we can begin to worship our God in spirit and in truth. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15, we see God's answer for us today. Mark 16 and verse 15. So they had to go from Egypt into the wilderness. Now God tells us to go. We have a message. Remember the message that we have? 1 Corinthians 15, we just read it. It's the gospel, right? We are to go with the gospel, Mark 16, 15. And he said unto them, what's the next two words? Go ye. Go ye. We have the answer. We have the hope. If someone tonight is wondering, is heaven for me? The answer is yes, heaven is for you, because the Lord Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again so you and I could have a home in heaven. Heaven is for us. God doesn't want anyone to miss heaven. God wants everyone to be in heaven. That's why Jesus came. But the message for us tonight is clear. Take that message, the message of salvation, and go with it. Go ye into all the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. To how many people? To every creature. That's the message. That's the answer for us tonight. So we see, number one, God's message, God's mission. Let's go back to Exodus chapter number 3. Praise the Lord, not only do we see his mission and his message, but thirdly, we see his promises. As God is challenging Moses with a message. This is what you're going to say to Pharaoh. This is the mission. When you leave Egypt, this is why you're leaving. And he says, by the way, I've got some promises for you. Aren't you glad for the promises of God? God is not a liar. If he promises something, look at Titus chapter 1. In hope that we have eternal life, that God promised before the world began would give unto us eternal life. I missed it up a little bit. The point is this: when God promises something, it's going to happen. Notice, if you will, the promises in Exodus chapter 3, verse number 19. and I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. Wow. You're going to go to the king with a message. Pharaoh, message. Here's the message. Pharaoh, let my people go. And God says, I'm sure he's not going to let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. Notice what it says. Verse 20. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of gold and jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. The promises of God. Pharaoh will not let you go, Moses, but I will do a work, and he will let you go. You know that God always is doing a work. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Let's turn over there quickly. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. His promises. Pharaoh's going to say no to you, Moses. But I'll take care of Pharaoh. Not only that, but Moses, when you leave Egypt, you're not leaving with nothing. You're leaving with everything that you need. You're leaving with your provision. Look at verse 13 of Philippians 4. Many of you know it from heart, by heart, memory. I can do all things. I can do all things. What is it tonight that you're having difficulty with in your life? What is it tonight that you're having trouble overcoming? What is it tonight that you fear? God says, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. The problem I find in my life is many times I try to do all things through me. Do you know what happens? Nothing. That's the problem. When we try to do all things through our own power and through our own ability and through our own experience. Now, there's good in all of that, but God says here, I can do all things. And he says, Moses, hey, Moses, Pharaoh's not going to want to do it. In fact, Pharaoh is going to say no, but don't get disheartened, Moses, because I have Pharaoh in the palm of my hand. Night, whatever it is in your life or in my life that maybe is a difficulty, know that the promises of God are there. Turn over to John chapter 12 and verse 32. John 12. John 12 and verse 32, as we think about going with the gospel, Jesus said in verse 32 of John 12, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Sometimes we think of the task at hand and we think it's impossible to go and reach the world with the gospel. Remember, we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. It's not my job to reach the world with the gospel. It's my job to go to lift up Christ. It's my job to live pure and holy and righteous as best to my ability with God's help, because it's God who will draw all men. And notice what it says here in Acts chapter 2, verse 47. What happens is eventually there's a praising God here. Verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Notice, and the Lord added. And the Lord added. Who do we want to add to the Anchor Baptist Church? The Lord. Who do we want to add to the Anchor Baptist Church? The Lord. I don't want to add anybody. You don't want to add anybody. But we've got to go with the gospel and say, God, as we go with the gospel, not everyone's going to say yes. Pharaoh said no. God said, I'm doing a work in Pharaoh. But you've got to go with the message. You see, we sometimes sit and think that person's not going to listen to the message. It's not our job to know if they're going to listen to the message. It's our job to go with the message and leave the results with the Lord. Moses went to Pharaoh with God telling him ahead of time he's not going to listen. Wow. Well, wouldn't it be something if God told us, I want you to go and I want you to talk to so-and-so about the gospel. Oh, by the way, they're not going to listen. You know what we would think? Then why go? You know what? That's the thing of God. I'm not God. You're not God. When God says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, we could very easily have the same thinking. Who's going to listen? But it's not up to us to listen. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be what? Saved. Oh, I'm thankful for the opportunity that we have to trust the promises of God. Might I say today, this same God still speaks today. This same God will never be silenced. We have an omnipotent God, amen? It means all powerful. Government cannot stop God. Communism did not stop God. I watched a moving video last night about a man named Richard Wurmbrand. I read the book. If you've never read the book, Tortured for Christ, you need to read that book. It makes my trouble in Christianity look like peanuts. This man was tortured for almost 20 years. You know what? The message of the gospel did not stop. People have been killed because of the gospel message. People have been martyred because of the gospel message. But you know what? We have the Word of God today here in the King James Bible. We have the Holy Word of God. It's not going to be silenced. We can take that powerful message to a lost and dying world. Death could not stop the message of the Lord. The grave could not hold the message of the Lord. Jesus is alive and he's still at work today. Remember, let's go back to think about that. Moses says, what shall I say unto them? And tonight we might think, I don't know what to say unto them. Let's say unto them exactly what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, give them the gospel. That is the power of God unto salvation. And then Moses says this, look at chapter 4, verse 1. I mean, God just spent all this time challenging Moses. Moses in chapter 4, verse 1, this is where we are sometimes. I can relate to Moses. Exodus 4:1. And Moses answered and said, but behold. You know what that is? That is, wait a minute. In 2019. This is 1611 English. Wait a minute. That's what I think he said. Turner translation. They will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Who are you? Number 3, the question that Moses asked is, who is going to believe me? I have no authority. Look at verse 20. And Moses took his wife. That's the wrong verse 20. Oh, yeah, no, sorry. And Moses took his wife, that's right, and his sons, and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. It's not just a rod now. It's called the rod of God. Amen? I got to thinking about this. Who are we? We are men and women here tonight. Right? I know some of you aren't men yet. You're young men, but just for the sake, we're men and women tonight. But when we are empowered by God, think of this. When we are empowered by God, we become men and women of God. Pastor, you say, I'm not a pastor. Doesn't matter. You can be a man of God as the power of God. That was just a rod, but now it's called the rod of God. And that's going to be used repeatedly in Moses' leadership as you follow it through. And I think you, most of you know about that. Moses, that's just a piece of wood. Look at verse 3 of chapter 4. And he said, let's see. And the Lord said unto him, verse 2, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. It's not called the rod of God in verse 2, but it is in verse 20. You see, we're just men. We're just women. But if we have the power of God, then we are men of God. We are women of God, not for our own glorification, but for His honor and glory. As we go about our daily life, think of this. As you go to work tomorrow, you are a man of God. As you go to work tomorrow, you are a woman of God. As you do housework, if you're a housewife, you are a woman of God. No matter what we do for a living, if we're a child of God, empowered by God, we are men and women of God. What a great and high calling that is. It is why He deserves our worship. It is why He deserves our praise. It is why we can make a difference, even in 2019, when many are scoffing the Word of God and belittling the Word of God. We are men and women of God. What is that in thine hand? And he said, cast it to the ground. And he cast it to the ground, and it became a what? Serpent. Serpent. Even saying the word. And Moses fled from before it. I would have too. I hate snakes. You like snakes? Wow. I don't know what to say. And the Lord said unto Moses, here we go, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. What? Last time I knew, anybody that's ever talked to me about snakes, you're supposed to grab it by the head, right behind the head. Not the tail. Pick it up by the tail, what can happen? That head can come up and, you know, grab a hold right here. Inject some poison. The serpent was worshipped in Egypt, by the way. There's quite a bit of symbolism here. It can be seen many times on Egyptian art. Moses is told by God to pick up the serpent by the tail. Do we trust God tonight? God, that's not the way we should do this. We should do it a different way. You know, many times in life, we think we know better than God. Many times in life, I think I know better than God. God, that's not the way I learned how to do it in Bible college. God says, I want you to do it this way. God, that's not the way I learned how to do it over here. God says, I want you to do it this way. Moses, pick up the snake by the tail. But wait a minute. God, there's a book out that's been released, How to Pick Up Snakes 101. It's not picking it up by the tail. We trust God tonight? Moses asked God, who is going to believe me? God reveals in a small way His power. Because Moses reaches down and he put forth his hand and caught it. And what happened? It became a rod in his hand. Verse 5, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. That wasn't enough. Verse 6, and the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. Moses put his hand in his bosom in verses 4 to 6. His hand became leprous. Verse 7, his hand is clean once again. I'm thankful tonight that God can cleanse a leprous, dirty heart. God has the cleansing power to make a sinner clean and whole. These two examples are pictures of preparation for service. Quickly as we close, number one, the rod. This was being consecrated for God's use. It would be called the rod of God. Number two, the hand being cleansed and moved because of a new heart. If we're going to worship God, if we're going to serve God, we've got to be cleansed. We've got to be clean. We can't serve Him as a dirty vessel. In spite of every excuse, God that Moses kept making in question, God patiently worked through him. One after another, God would reveal things about Himself. Let's go quickly to one passage, and then we're done. Deuteronomy 34. We're kind of jumping ahead and leaving Moses now and going to the end of his life. Moses would lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. That's a whole, you know, long story in itself. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. And in all that mighty land and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. This is the end of Moses' life. Basically, here at the end, God is saying that Moses fulfilled the tasks that I called him to do. Moses finished the task that I called him to do. And I wonder tonight, as we think about what God is calling us to do, this vision, this ending of Moses' life, it all started when he had the right vision of God. It started when Moses bowed his head and worshiped. We talked about that a few weeks ago. This all started when Moses stopped worrying about what Moses couldn't do and realizing that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. This all started when Moses stopped trusting in Moses and started trusting in the covenant God of Israel. Tonight, it's our God. He's our God. He's our King. He's our Lord. He's our power. He's our might. We can do anything but fail through the power and strength of God.